But it's always good to go retro and to go back and to try and compare experiences from a logistical perspective. Spiritually, Hajj is Hajj, whether you performed it 1,000 years ago or you'll perform it 1,000 years from now. And that's the beauty of Islam, that the teachings remain eternal. Now, joining us on the line, we have a Quran teacher at Zahra Institute, Sister Hajar Bawa, who performed Hajj in the year 1987. Hajar, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah to you and to all our listeners out there.
When you think back to your Hajj of 1987, I'm not sure how old you were then, but what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What's the most striking memory of Hajj 1987?
Well, I felt that I couldn't believe that I was so lucky. I was 30 years old. That means I'm really checking now my age. But subhanAllah, I had the privilege of making a Hajj with my father and mother and husband. And at that time, that Hajj, because it was so difficult for us as South Africans to go for Hajj, it was expensive. And then my father tried to form a group where he didn't make any profit on the Hajj. And then this is how we went. So I worked on the Hajj as well as going for Hajj. But for me, spiritually, I was so nervous, subhanAllah, because firstly, I couldn't believe that Allah chose me. You know, I felt at that time I was 30, and you know, at the age of 30, then you're really quite young, and we've done so many things, and I thought, yeah, Allah, now I'm going to come back from this spiritual journey as clean as a baby with no sins. And I felt so, I wanted to do everything of the best. So the one thing that strikes me of that first Hajj was that I used to try to memorize all the du'as, the tawaf du'as. I memorized all the niyas, and I wanted to do this Hajj so perfectly because I wanted accepted Hajj. And, you know, as I was doing all of this, my father, may Allah grant him Jannah, also did this, and my mother. And he used to tell me, Hajar, you know, when you're on Hajj, you speak to Allah. You don't need all of this. You don't even understand what you're saying. Actually, now I think I didn't understand what I was saying. I mean, I didn't understand Arabic then. And subhanAllah, then I used to think, why is my father doing this? You know, I thought he would be proud of me. And then the thing that happened was then we went on our first, we had to do the Tawaf al-Qudum. And we went towards the Kaaba to greet the Kaaba. And it wasn't Hajj yet. It was about 2 weeks before. And then I was very nervous. And I thought, yeah, Allah, that everyone says different things about seeing the Kaaba for the first time. How am I going to feel? Well, I also feel like that because I really felt I'm such a sinner. You know, I'm so young. I did so many things. How am I going to be in this sacred place? And well, I feel the same. And then as we walked, and then I heard the Mu'allim, he was saying all the du'as in front, and we were quite a big group. And then as we came into the Haram, we entered Bab Salam, and then he said to us, everyone, Lahujaj, lower your gaze, because we'll first walk, and then I'll tell you when to look up to have respect for the Kaaba, and then we will make the du'a that we normally always do after Salah, Allahumma anta salam. Then I was, we all put our eyes down, and I was shaking and nervous and feeling so emotional. And then as I walked, and then I put my eyes up, and I thought, yeah, Allah, I didn't expect to feel like this. I didn't get all of that everyone says that, You want to cry immediately and all of this. And I was so overwhelmed. Anyway, now I'm overwhelmed and I'm worried about my feelings because now I'm really thinking maybe it's because I'm bad. You know, that I'm getting the same feeling. Then now we're walking and alhamdulillah, I grew up in a house of Quran. My grandmother, our house was like a madrasa. So, I mean, I knew quite a bit, but I couldn't understand Arabic. And but I knew that everything that we do must have a niya. And innamal a'malu binniyat. Then, you know, as we walked and we came to the Kaaba, and I was seeing now the Mu'allim was far away from me and the people were pushing and carrying on. And I couldn't hear what he said. All I saw was they put their hands up and they said, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And I thought, yeah, Allah, I didn't even say my niya. And now we're starting our first tawaf, and then my father's words just struck, and it resonated with me. And then I thought, now I'm just going to say it in English, because otherwise I'm going to be lost. And that is how I started, and I said, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I'm making this tawaf al qudum 7 times around the Kaaba. Oh Allah, please accept it from me. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And then I thought, you know, you learned everything so, and you couldn't even say a niya. I was thinking, should I say, Allah, am I in me? Should I say, no, wait, I couldn't remember how it went. Subhanallah. Then, you know, since then until now, I've developed a relationship with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I speak to Allah. And I can talk, and alhamdulillah. I think that was a big lesson for me. My first Hajj, it's so beautiful too. It's like I can feel it.
SubhanAllah. Mualima, you have performed Hajj after that as well. As you say, that was your first Hajj. And of course, the actions, the rituals are the same of Hajj. But if you had to say, you know, what were some of the differences between the Hajj of the 1980s and the Hajj journeys that you had undertaken after that?
Well, if I wanted to jump, because I know that I don't have much time, but every Hajj for me was so significant. And on every Hajj, I learned a different lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me a different lesson. But in 1990, I became hamil with my third daughter. And, you know, as I was actually hamil for 6 weeks. I was 6 weeks pregnant. And we were making the Hajj in that week. And this one doctor, his name is Dr. Pandey, was a gynecologist. He still is very old now. I haven't seen him since then. And he said to me, you know, Hajar, this child is going to be a child of the Quran. And then I dedicated this baby to the deen. And subhanAllah, that child is now 30 years old. And she started Zahra Institute. And she became hafiz at the age of 9. So alhamdulillah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really takes on your du'as. And whatever you do it in, whatever language. Anyway, we're talking about the Hajj journey. And I know I have to speak fast because I don't have much time. But I've done 5 Hajjs, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So my last Hajj was in the year 2009. Yeah, I had one in 2000 and my mom passed away in that year. So I made Hajj that year with an empty heart. I made Hajj where I spoke to no one. I was quiet that entire Hajj. So for me, that was very significant. But I just want to jump over to the last Hajj, which was 2009. And then for the first time, I couldn't believe all of the luxury that we had. Because, I mean, as the years progressed, we never had air conditioners. We never had stuff like that. So it was really very, you know, rural. I don't know how to explain it. But then that time, in 2009, I was surrounded by young people. Mm-hmm. So as the years progressed, I saw that it was mostly old people that performed Hajj. But then as of now, this 2009 Hajj, and then also a lot of the spirit was starting to go. And that was very sad for me because the young people used to wear the best takis and they used to compare their brands of takis on the Hajj. And they used to talk about it like it was a hiking trip. SubhanAllah.
Amazing.
You know, all of that old-fashioned traits that stayed with the Hajj in that time, I think gradually that also it changed. But still, the Hajj was very beautiful. So, yeah. I mean, all of us, we feel, and you know what, Allah only chooses you. And then when you are chosen, you feel so amazed. You can't believe that Allah is really choosing you, and then you are there.
Finally then, what message would you give to those who are at home this year? Some of them may have wanted to go for Hajj last year or perhaps even accredited and it just didn't happen because of the pandemic and didn't happen again this year. Others may be going regularly for Umrah or would have wanted to go for Umrah in the last 2 years but couldn't because of the restrictions. People are excited about the Hajj, but their hearts are also aching because, you know, for the better part of 2 years now, we've been restricted as South Africans from visiting the Haramain. What's your message to our listeners this morning?
My message is, and I've been teaching the Hajj ever since. So I teach the Hajj, and then these 5 days of Hajj, like today is the day of Mina, all my students, I go through the waqf that all the Hujjaj are now. They're taking this 5 waqf and they are preparing themselves for the Hajj. And then I teach them about it. So my message is that everyone out there who wanted to go and Allah has now prevented us from entering, that subhanAllah, just do all of this at home. Take these 5 days and then you niyat it. And then, you know, you intend it. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from you. But every waqt at your salah, you try to connect with the Hujjaj in Makkah. So they're on Mina today. And then to fast if you can, inshallah. And if you can't fast all of these days, at least for the day of Arafah, and then for us, because we're having Eid on Wednesday, fast for 2 days if we can, inshallah. But if not, only fast tomorrow. And then tomorrow, the day of Arafah, I normally would have a program and we would all dress up, my ladies, and I teach such a beautiful class. SubhanAllah, I always feel that they're all better than me. And I can't believe that I'm sitting there and teaching them. Mm. And then we fast together and we make a salat at tasbih. So I would urge everyone out there, our Hujjaj, and they are Hujjaj because Allah would have accepted their niyyah, that they must make salat at tasbih. They must make all of these things. They must sit in a corner in their home and dedicate this.
Yeah.
So subhanAllah, that is my message. Yeah.
Shukran so much for sharing that really touching memory of your Hajj back in 1987, Mu'allima Hajra. We really appreciate it.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, it's amazing, Mu'allima, the passion with which she remembers the Hajj experience of 1987 and the memories of how it helped her to connect with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That's what it's all about.